is brought to you by Head Start Basketball.
Hey, hoop heads. Wanted to take a minute to shout out our partners and friends at Dr. Dish Basketball. Their Dr. Dish shooting machines are undoubtedly the most advanced and user-friendly machines on the market, and they truly accelerate skill development faster than ever. Learn more at drdishbasketball.com and follow their incredible content at Dr. Dish B-Ball on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube. Mention the Hoopheads podcast and save an extra $300 on the Dr. Dish Rebel, All-Star, and CT models. Also, make sure to check out the new Dr. Dish home machine. Visit drdishbasketball.com for details. That's a great deal, Hoopheads. Get your Dr. Dish shooting machine today.
Prepare like the pros with the all-new Fast Draw and Fast Scout. Fast Draw has been the number one play diagramming software for coaches for years. You'll quickly see why Fast Model Sports has the most compelling and intuitive basketball software out there. For a limited time, Fast Model is offering new subscribers 10% off Fast Draw and Fast Scout. Just use the code SAVE10 at checkout to grab your discount, and you'll be on your way to more efficient game prep and improved communication with your team. Fast Model also has new coaching content every week on its blog, plus play and drill diagrams on its play bank. Check out the links in the show notes for more. Fast Model Sports is the best in basketball.
Coaches, do you have a point guard or leader you're going to be counting on next season to run the show for you? Don't leave next season to chance. Thousands of coaches send their players to a point guard college camp each summer to learn to think the game, lead a team, and run the show. Your players will be smarter, better leaders, and better equipped to foster a championship culture next season in practice and in your locker room. I've seen firsthand how PGC camps have had a huge impact on players and coaches that I know, both on and off the court. You can go to pgcbasketball.com to find a 5-day, 4-night camp near you. That's pgcbasketball.com.
Hello and welcome to the Hoopheads podcast. This once again is Jason Sonkel, not Mike Klinzing, who is out west visiting the Grand Tetons. But I am pleased to be joined by Dan Menigan from 92.3 The Fan here in Cleveland. Dan, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks, brother. I feel bad for you. You're slumming it with me, and Mike's out there just checking out, you know, the beautiful Grand Tetons, which I was lucky enough to go to when I was in eighth grade, and frankly, too stupid at that age to realize how beautiful it was, and would have rather been at home, you know, trying to flirt with the opposite sex and failing miserably.
Or that sounds like my life in general.
Oh, it was.
Even to this day, and I'm married. So anyways, I definitely can relate. So I'm very happy to have you on because we're going to talk a little bit of the NBA tonight. We're going to talk about where the Bucks and the Suns go from here. We're going to talk about the trade that was made yesterday, and then we're going to do a very brief draft preview because, quite frankly, I can't talk very expertly about the draft. I don't know if you feel like you can talk very expertly about the draft, but once I get past the top three players, I feel like I'm ignorant, and there all the other podcasts that do have done so many different draft things. I don't feel like we would do service to it. So at least I wouldn't. So our end, we're just going to talk about the top three and what you think the Cavs will do / should do. Does that sound like a good plan, Dan?
Works for me, man, because I can get you to about six, and then after that, I'm throwing darts.
All right. Well, perfect. So first, Dan has family in Wisconsin, so he has a little bit of a different perspective. So I kind of wanted to have Dan talk about what Milwaukee Bucks championship means to the city of Milwaukee, the state of Wisconsin, and like in the general gist of like how awesome it was to kind of be following them as a, I don't know if you classify yourself a Bucks fan or a pseudo Bucks fan or a Bucks fan by proxy, but just kind of your perspective, Dan.
So growing up, it was the Bucks were the third team. They're still the third team in Wisconsin. It's the Packers, the Brewers, and then a gap, and then the Bucks. And then Giannis showed up, and all of a sudden that gap became smaller. And the best way that I could describe it is like growing up, we would go visit. Both of my grandparents are from Wisconsin. My folks were born and raised there as well. And so we would go visit them. And we would then turn around and go, well, we don't want to hang with the old people anymore. Let's just go to the Bucks game. And you could get tickets for, like, you know, basically $5 or less. And you'd go sit in the upper deck of the Bradley Center, and the joint was falling apart, and there would be hardly anybody there. And you would watch some really, really mediocre basketball. You know, it basically was that whole, you know, we had the Lou Alcindor and all that kind of stuff. And I'm not old enough to remember Lou Alcindor and Big O and that whole championship. But, like, the one for me is I remember Sam I Am Cassell and, of course, Ray Allen and Glenn Robinson.
Kevin Garnett.
Irvin Johnson and that kind of stuff. Kevin Garnett was in Minnesota. What the hell's wrong with you? Come on, Sunkel. Let's get
it. Listen, I was just giving you crap because I know how much you love Minnesota. Together. I love how much you love Minnesota, especially wearing Minnesota Vikings t-shirts when you lose bets. All right.
The whole state of Minnesota is still on my hit list right now. It's cute that they thought they could win the North for a little while, but that's beside the point. Sorry. All right. So, like, basically, you know, that was like the ticket you got for free. And then Giannis showed up and it got a little bit better from there. But it really wasn't until Boonholzer showed up, and more than anything else, when they got the new stadium. And I'm not here to get into the politics or anything else that happened with the stadium itself. You can go look that stuff up and get your own feel
for it. Is it similar to the situation in around here with stadiums?
Put it this way. It was if you didn't build a stadium, we were moving the team. And really, at that point in Milwaukee and the way that things were going, there was a good chance that that team could have moved. And Scott Walker, who was the governor at the time, who has done a lot of very, very, very shady things. Again, there are a lot of people who also like him. This is just one man's opinion. Basically rammed this stadium bill through and got the Pfizer Forum up and running and all that stuff. And the way that he did it was really shiesty. And again, not to get into it there, but it kind of turned a lot of this stuff around and brought more attention back to the Bucks. And then, of course, Giannis grows 3 inches, gains 50 pounds. Chris Middleton turns into a really good second option. They make the trade for Jrue Holiday, and all of a sudden the Bucks are a lot of fun again. And the people are really paying attention to them, and people are really getting locked in. And it has been a lot of fun to watch, you know, 65,000 people pack into this little area in between the stadium and a couple bars and that stuff that are next door to it, and just go absolutely nuts, and then watch the city just go absolutely nuts and really show up well and get behind this team. And it was so much fun to watch it, because this was a season where everybody looked at it and went, okay, the 76ers are really good. And Brooklyn, of course, made all the moves that they did, and nobody thought this Bucks team could get it done. And they were able to pull it together. And especially after that horrible showing in the bubble, they were able to pull it together. And it was just the perfect storm of post-pandemic. And it was awesome. It was so cool to watch. And it was so cool to watch Milwaukee show up. And I think Milwaukee is a lot like Cleveland in the fact that if the Bucks are good, they will be paid attention to. And the minute that the Bucks kind of fall off, I wonder if it turns into where the Cavs are, where they go back to being, frankly, number three.
Makes sense. Listen, it makes sense. And, you know, I'm assuming your family that's in Wisconsin, they are really excited about the Bucks winning it all. Do they have interest in basketball still?
I got two uncles who are, and then everybody else, I think, just kind of hopped on the bandwagon. I never grew up with, like, you know, my family was never giant basketball fans or anything else like that. Like, I ended up.
Well, then how did you end up the way that you are, Dan?
So, well, it's the great question, man, because I think my folks even wonder that one, of how I ended up, you know, in sports and that stuff, because, you know, they paid attention. They kept an eye on stuff, but they were never hooked or anything like that. And it was friends down the street and friends all around me. And just as I got older, I got hooked and I fell in love with basketball. You know, I watched Michael Jordan growing up, and then there was a big lull in the 2000s, and I came back with Steve Nash and the Phoenix Suns. So as, like, when I saw Nash play basketball, I went, yes, this, I love this. And for the longest time, I was a huge Steve Nash fan. I own a Steve Nash jersey. There's a Phoenix Suns hat somewhere in my collection because of how much I loved watching 6 seconds or less. And so it was so funny to me as I got to watch the Milwaukee Bucks, the team that I grew up watching, go up against the Phoenix Suns, the team that made me fall back in love with basketball again. and I got to see them meet in the finals. And I was so torn as I was watching. I was like, you know what? Milwaukee getting a title means more than cheap rear-ended Robert Sarver winning anything. And so, like, I'm still mad about Joe Johnson. Like, I am, it still infuriates me that they never re-signed Joe Johnson. And it still infuriates me that they sold the Tony Parker pick and all the other things that that cheap rear-ended, because I don't know how much I can curse on here, Robert Sarver was able to pull off. So I was pulling for the Bucks. It was awesome to see it do it in six. It was awesome to see him do it there. So it was kind of this weird two sides of my life just smashing right into each other. And I got to watch it in front of me. So,
yep. Awesome. Well, I'm very happy for you. Listen, I was so happy when it was ended up being Milwaukee and Phoenix, because they're two smaller market teams. And, you know, obviously I think Milwaukee's probably was definitely a smaller market than Phoenix, but I still think in the grand scheme of things, Phoenix is a small market in the sense that they don't have like LA, New York, like any of the Texas cities.
In means of people, Phoenix is a good size market.
In
means of, you know, Maricopa County is really big, as anybody who, you know, everybody kind of has figured out as we went through that last election cycle. Maricopa County is really big. And there's a lot of people who are in there, and there are a lot of people who found their way back into paying attention to the Suns in this run. And it was cool even watching them fall back in love with it. I mean, the Bucks or the Suns and four guy was epic. I mean, where would the finals have been without the Suns and four guy? Come on now.
Yeah, for sure. All right, so that's in the rearview mirror. We have a draft coming up on Thursday. We have free agency almost immediately after that. I think free agency starts next week, right? If I'm not incorrect.
Correct.
It's like full steam ahead, full speed ahead. So what we're going to look at right now is we're going to look at the two teams that were in the finals, just those two teams, the Bucks and the Suns, and we're going to talk about all the people that are free agents for those teams, or possible free agents for those teams. And I'm going to just say a name, and I just want your 5 second, 10 seconds. Are they still a member of that team, or are they not going to be a member of that team? You don't have to give me a possible destination. I think that's too much speculation because there's lots of movement that could happen, but whether you think they're still going to be members of the team. All right. So the first player is someone that today declined their player option, Bryn Forbes. So I'm going to guess that you're going to say that he's not going to be a member of the Bucks. Do you have a short rant you want to make about Bryn Forbes? Because I know before the podcast, you were kind of talking about it. So I was going to let you do that.
I labeled Bryn Forbes getting on of his player option, and all that popped into my head is Jason Bateman in Dodgeball just going, that's a bold strategy, Cotton. We'll see if it pays off for him. And he had a really nice season. He's a great shooter. He's somebody who has definitely grown over time period, but this is, you know, when you're a second round pick and that kind of stuff, which I think Bryn Forbes is, I'm kind of doing this off the top of my head.
I'm pretty sure he is. Yeah.
Yeah. He's got these options and he could do this kind of stuff. I think Milwaukee may look to bring him back for a short amount of money. I would have rather have had him out there than Jeff Teague during the playoffs. So I think Bryn Forbes probably comes back for a little bit higher of a number, but the Bucks are in a bit of a cash crunch. I mean, you've got three max guys on your roster between Giannis, Middleton, and Drew Holiday. So you're going to have to cut at the margins, and they need a secondary ball handler. And I wonder if Bryn Forbes will take a discount, maybe from what he believes he is worth by opting out.
Forbes was undrafted, by the way.
Oh, that's it. He was undrafted. Okay.
So, good call. Yep. No problem. Thanks, Wikipedia. All right. On that note, you mentioned him, Jeff Teague.
Bye.
I know he's gone. He's gone, right? He's gone. The only chance that he has is still being on the roster is because he has a good relationship with Bud.
That's true. That could definitely pay into it, but it would be one of those things that it's a 1 year, 2.5, 1 year, 3, 1 year, $4 million deal.
And he only made 800. He only made 808 this year, right? But that was because he got the vet minimum. Is that accurate?
Yep, he got the vet minimum. So I got a feeling it's going to be the same thing like that again, where it's going to be, okay, here's the vet minimum if you want to come back. I can't see them spending real money on him. The minutes that he was out there in the playoffs and in the finals, he was a net negative. And he got a couple buckets and that stuff, but boy, you could tell the minute that he stepped on that floor, Booker, Paul, and the other guys even in the series before were licking their chops.
Yep, for sure. So then these next two guys, I wouldn't necessarily be able to pull them out of a lineup. Axel Toupain. Is that how you say his name?
Toupain? Sure. I have no idea who that is.
And Justin Jackson.
Can't help you there either.
So I'm gonna say they might still be on the team because they're 14 and 15 on the roster.
Yeah.
That's what I'm gonna say. All right. So then we've got Giannis's brother is a restricted free agent.
If Giannis wants him back, yes.
Yes, I was gonna say if Giannis wants him there, yes, for sure. It's not like he's gonna make a ton of money anyways, because I mean he's obviously the inferior to the superior.
He's basically like you put him out on the floor and you set a stopwatch knowing that in about 3 minutes he's going to pick up three fouls and you're probably going to have to pull him off the floor.
Or you just hope the other team confuses him for Giannis and they start they don't go to the lane because they think the guy's going to block their shot or something.
I love that dude's aggression. Like, I love how much he loves playing defense and he wants to be the hustle guy and he wants to be the heart guy and all that stuff. But I have never seen a player foul faster than Giannis Antetokounmpo. I have never seen it in my life. It is unbelievable when you put him on the floor how quickly he can pick up three fouls.
Well, listen, did you watch Kevin Durant and Team USA's first game? Because he picked up three fouls in about 5 minutes. That was pretty impressive.
Giannis can beat him, man.
Okay, all right. I'll give you that.
It's unreal when that dude touches the floor how much he's like getting up in people's faces and like slapping them on the hands. It's foul. Foul. Okay, we gotta get somebody in here.
Get him out of here. All right.
Exactly.
So the last two Bucks. I think one of them is gonna stay. I'm gonna think, but I don't know. Bobby Portis, he has a player option.
And
PJ Tucker has an unrestricted free agent.
Bobby Portis can drink for free at any bar in Milwaukee.
So he's gonna pick up his player option.
I don't know if he'll pick up his player option because I think this finals appearance, I think his agent's going to look at him and say, we could probably make you more money than the 3.7. Like, I think that's how it's going to end up going. I bet you he re-signs in Milwaukee because I can't see the Bucks letting that dude go. I just can't. And they're going to have to figure out a way to do this. I don't know if anybody would want Brook Lopez's contract. You know, if maybe they could make a move for him, but he was a big part of what they were doing.
He had two big dunks in the game seven.
And he can stretch the floor and protect the rim. And those are the two things that this Bucks team needs, because as long as Giannis continues to play the style that he does, which is clearly working, they won the title. They're going to need a five who can stretch the floor and protect the rim. And he does that really well. And so he fits exactly what they want. And they don't do it often enough, but they could dump it to Lopez in the post. I would like them to find the money to pay Portis. I think he fits exactly what this team needs. I mean, guy shot 40% from three all season. Yeah. So he's one of the highest three-point shooters on the planet. He wants to get dirty. He wants to get rebounds. He wants to play defense. And again, the dude is head over heels beloved in Milwaukee. So I think he comes back. I don't know if it's going to be for the 3.7. I think it's going to be higher than that.
Yeah, he's the 208th best paid NBA player next year.
Yeah, there's zero chance
he's going to walk away from this. Sorry. There's no way I don't know what's the right amount to pay him. I don't know.
I'd say
I love it. You know how much money he made in 2019-2020?
No.
$15 million?
Woo!
With the New York Knicks?
Bobby Portis not crying.
No.
Ooh, good on him. I can see them doing a like 10 to 12 mil a year for him. And I wonder if they regret that contract, but it's kind of that whole thing of like, all right, now we got to compensate you because you were such a huge part of the playoff run.
And yep.
You're somebody who helped us the regular season. PJ Tucker is interesting because
I think he's gone.
I think he's gone too. I think that series showed you that PJ Tucker is perfect if you're going up against a guy like Kevin Durant. But if you get guys who are faster on him, like, I'm sorry, Devin Booker ate him for lunch. Like, Devin Booker got whatever shot Devin Booker wanted when PJ Tucker was on him. And the same thing with Chris Paul. And I just think the guy is a half step slow. And I don't think he shoots the corner three as well or as willing as you would like him to. And anytime he puts the ball on the deck, you start holding your breath. And while you love the fact that he wants to go in for defensive rebounds, and he saw, or offensive rebounds, I should say, and he saw Chris Paul on him, so therefore he took him to the hole, like, offensive rebounding is a lovely thing. It helped them win the title. But can you really point to offensive rebounding and say that guy is worth a good chunk of change that he's going to get from another team? Like, someone else will use the mid-level exception on PJ Tucker. Like, I could see the Lakers using the mid-level exception on PJ Tucker and going, okay, we can play him as a small ball four on our end. Or I could see the Nets doing the same thing, going like, okay, that way we don't have to put the miles on Kevin Durant having to play defense against tough fours. We could do it at PJ Tucker. So he will be a guy who will bounce around the league and take mid-level exceptions year after year after year, because contenders always want that dude. Hell, he'd fit the Heat like a charm. So we'll see. But yeah, I think he's
gone. You know who could use him?
Hmm.
The Lakers.
Yeah. He makes a lot of sense there.
I mean, he does. He makes a lot of sense in any contender, though, quite frankly. I think any contender would be lucky to have him, as long as you don't rely on him for offense.
Exactly.
So all right. So that clears the Bucks. So we're going to look at the Suns, and obviously the big one being Chris Paul. So I guess we're going to start there. Does Chris Paul pick up his player option for one more year, or is he going to go somewhere else?
Chris Paul's going to have to look $40 million in the eye and go, nah, I'm good. And Chris Paul has a lot of money. He's had a great career. But, man, it is really hard to look $40 million square in the eye and say, nah, I'm good. Now, if I would love to see him go to the Lakers for the reason of, I think he would implode the Lakers, and I just want to watch that burn to the ground and just enjoy everything that would take place as he and LeBron shoot mean mugs at each other and Chris Paul is yelling at people, and because Chris Paul ain't taking orders from anyone.
Well, listen, like, the Lakers have been linked to everyone. However, they have been linked to Carmelo. So you could potentially get 3/4 of the banana boat. You could potentially have finally gotten the 3/4 of the banana boat. And then all you need to do is talk Dwayne Wade out of retirement and you can get the banana boat. And this has been my dream the last 4 years, of somehow constructing the roster. Like, when LeBron was still with the Cavs and the Kyrie got traded in 2018, I was hoping that somehow we could get Carmelo here and have half the banana boat. But I think this is the first legitimate chance that we have at the banana boat reuniting and playing in basketball together. Chris Paul, LeBron James, Carmelo Anthony. Now, that being said, I'm looking at the other way. I think Chris Paul is going to take his player option. He's going to give it one more year with the Suns. And if that doesn't go well, then he'll go to the Lakers after that. Because I don't think that he can take 40, say, because he's not going to make much money with the Lakers. He's not, because they don't have any money to spend unless they make cap room. So he's going to stay one more year in Phoenix, I think, and then he's going to be gone. I know a lot of people don't feel like that, but I think he's got to. I think he's got to.
Right.
And I think he owes Monty, like, he probably feels indebted to Monty Williams too. And Monty, there's a mutual respect there for both of them. So I truly think that he's going to stay.
Everybody loves Monty Williams.
Yeah. So,
yeah, I'm with you. Again, it's very hard to look $40 million straight in the face and go, no, I'm good.
Yep, I agree. All right, so then we've got five players that are all unrestricted free agents. Okay, we'll start with the guy who didn't play at all, Langston Galloway. I don't know. He was making more money than two of the people that played a lot more minutes than him. So yep. Langston Galloway made $2 million, and then Torrey Craig and Cameron Payne, 1.7 and 1.1.
I think they'll bring back Torrey Craig because he kind of fits what they like to do, and I think they can work on his jumper a tiny bit.
I think they'll bring Cameron Payne back too, right? Because if they don't have Cameron Payne, who's the backup point guard?
Well, and that's going to be the question, is can you improve on Cam Payne? Can you find somebody who can be microwave offense off of the bench, except in a more consistent microwave manner? And I think you could be able to do that. I think those guys are going to be out there. And while they may have stumbled on Cam Payne, he might fit because of, again, we're, you know, in a sport with a really heavy luxury tax, and we all know how cheap Robert Sarver is. He may look at that and go, okay, Cam Payne is perfect because he'll take, you know, the 2-year, $10 million, hey, thanks for believing in me, guys, deal. So maybe Cam Payne stays. I think you can improve on that. I think there's going to be other free agents that'll be out there, or trades that would be out there that could get them somebody better that could help this roster. Because this is the biggest thing that they need, is they needed one more score. I mean, you were watching that finals and you were thinking in your head, man, if they just had one more guy, they could have gotten over the hump. And I know Milwaukee did a phenomenal job taking away the corner three, which is what, you know, Phoenix did so well all throughout the season, is they were an unbelievable corner three shooting team. They could collapse it. They could kick it out. And the minute that they started playing off, you could hit those mid-range jumpers and find those seams. But they just needed one guy who could get to the basket and get to the line. And that guy, the closest thing they had to that guy was Cameron Payne. So I wonder if there is a guy who is out there who can better fit that mold of being a microwave off the bench for them. So I'm interested to see. I think Cameron Payne, I think you're right. I think Torrey Craig stays. I think Cameron Payne stays. I think they both take the, hey, thanks for believing in me, guys, deal. And we go, and they go from there.
Yep. And then the last two being Frank Kaminsky and Etuan Moore. Now, Kaminsky,
Frank the Tank.
He literally didn't show up. And then game seven happened. And I was like, I texted Mike when he played a really good game that game seven. Like, I felt like he was actually making impact plays. Now, they didn't end up winning. And that was a very short, sustained run that he had, but he still scored that dunk that he had in game seven. I was like, whoa,
Frank the Tank came to play. It was weird. They were kind of feeding Frank the Tank at one point in game six, which probably should have been the concerning part.
I was going to say that doesn't bode well for your chances at winning.
If the offense is like, well, we should probably feed Frank the Tank. Like, you've got an issue. Defensively, though, I mean, he just doesn't move his damn feet. Like, he just can't move his feet, and he can't keep.
It's like he's got cement blocks on his feet.
Exactly, and you switch him on a 1-5 pick and roll, and he's gonna get torched, or a 2-5 pick and roll, and he's gonna get torched. And he was out there because, you know, of what happened to poor Dario Saric, and I think they will move on from Frank the Tank. I can't see him bringing.
Yeah, and I don't. I agree with that, and I don't know. Like, Etuan Moore, he didn't really play at all either.
No,
so
not at all.
Who knows if those guys are going to show up? Like we talked about with, you know, the two Bucks players that we didn't really. I know the name Etuan Moore, but I don't necessarily know that he's going to be. He's not an impact player, so he could very well be brought back as a 12th player, but he's not. He's not an overall impact. So we'll just have to see. You know. The draft being in like 2 days, which is crazy. Like, we just ended the season. We're going to have the draft. I kind of like the quick turnaround, quite frankly.
The draft right there.
It's nice. You know, I think normally it's like a 2-week turnaround, but normally what you do is you have the finals end in the middle of June. Then the draft is like 2 weeks after that. And then free agency is like a week after that, something like that. Normally I really like that. We're just going to go boom, boom, boom. It's going to be a Woj Bomb Fest. That's what it's going to be.
That poor dude, he's probably got his thumbs on ice right now. Just waiting.
He's preparing. And the first Woj Bomb dropped yesterday, Dan. We have a trade. Could you believe?
We had a trade.
And listen, they were two, I didn't hear any scuttle about any of these teams trading these players. So I was kind of, I don't want to say taken aback, but I was like, who does this improve? I don't know. I'll get your take in a minute here. So Memphis sends Jonas Valanciunas, who they were going to have to pay a lot of money, and the 17th and the 51st pick to New Orleans for Steven Adams, Eric Bledsoe, and the 10th and 40th pick, and a protected 2022 first-round pick via the Lakers. And by protected, it is top 10 protected, if I read that correctly. So my question to you is, did the Pelicans get better, or did the Memphis get better? Did they both get better? I personally think that Memphis theoretically is better. They lost Jonas, but they gained earlier picks, and they got Eric Bledsoe, which you being a Milwaukee Buck fan, I know you know about Eric Bledsoe. But I think Memphis got better. I don't think this helps New Orleans at all. Maybe I'm wrong.
So what this does, at least from me looking into it, is on the Memphis side of it, They get the earlier pick. They wanted to get into the top 10. Word on the street is they want to move up even more. And they've got their eye on somebody. I don't know who it is, whether it's a Kuminga, a Scotty Barnes, or even higher than that. I wonder if that's what they're looking at. Or Wagner as well out of Michigan. I think that's one of the guys that they are definitely looking at to move up. They also, by getting out Jonas, you're right, they gave up a lot of money. The one thing that they got out of it was the fact that Steven Adams is a expiring contract. So you're shortening the amount that you have the Jonas Valanciunas contract. And the way that the league is going, why Jonas does make you better and Jonas does help, you watch in these playoff series, and we learn when you get to the playoffs, big guys who can't switch onto smaller guys and be able to hang are just toast. You cannot play them. They get played off the floor every single year. You have got to find a guy like a DeAndre Ayton who can move their feet and be able to at least make it tough on those shooting guards and those quick point guards who are looking to score on a 1-5 pick and roll where you switch. It's the same thing that happened to Brook Lopez. You couldn't have Brook Lopez on the floor for long periods of time because you get that switch and all of a sudden Chris Paul cooks him. And it's the same thing that happened in the different series that happened before that. We watch it, and I think that's what they looked at with Jonas, is they went, we can't have this dude on the floor with us if we're going to face Phoenix, or we can't have this dude on the floor with us if we're going to face Golden State. He's going to get played off the floor. Steven Adams is going to be close to the same problem. He's just 1 year away. Eric Bledsoe has already come out and said, I don't want to play for Memphis. Memphis responded with, good, we don't want you either, really. We did this for the pick and to get off of Jonas faster. So I think Memphis won this deal. I think the other side of it with New Orleans, they're clearly looking to do something with roster spots. That they are looking to make Zion happy. They have to. Because you don't want to go down as the franchise that is the first team that a player does not accept the rookie extension. Like, you don't want to do that. And yeah, the way it is looking right now in New Orleans, Zion Williamson might be the first player to turn down the rookie extension. So they've got to do something. They have got to do something to improve this roster that is better than just roll it back one more time and hope for the best. So I think that's what this trade does, is it puts them in the position where they're like, look, we've got picks. We got all these Laker picks. We've got a couple of young guys. We've got Lonzo, who's a restricted free agent, that we got to figure out what the hell we're going to do with that. I think it puts them in the position where they could look to improve this roster and have these open roster spots.
Yeah, I definitely – Eric Bledsoe, I've read that Eric Bledsoe is going to get released. Like, they're going to cut him free.
And Eric Bledsoe is fine if you don't rely on him. He's a bulldog point guard.
I've read Philadelphia is a very likely destination.
He's a good defensive point guard. His offense comes and goes, and when the going gets tough, his offense seems to go.
Sounds like a perfect replacement to Ben Simmons.
Exactly. And, it's so funny to listen to all of these people trash Eric Bledsoe, and they're like, well, when you get to the playoffs, he disappears. It's like, yeah, but Eric Bledsoe helps to get you there. Like,
yeah,
if he's the fourth guy or the fifth guy on your roster, you're in really good shape. It's just, if you're going to look at this and go, okay, he's going to be our number three option, or he's going to be our number two option, well, then you're up a particularly smelly creek with a paddle. Like without a paddle, you have a problem on your hands if that's the case.
I played a golf course with a pretty smelly creek yesterday.
It's the way it goes. You hope to not to hit into it.
I didn't.
Good on you.
And neither did the person I was playing with. So it was a good day.
Fourth or fifth, though, option, that's not a bad guy to have on your roster.
No, I agree.
He can guard other point guards. So I don't think he's useless. They can turn around and trade him for something. Now, again, if it's going to Philly doesn't have a whole lot to give.
Well, I don't think they're even going to trade him. I read that they're just going to cut him loose.
Yeah, buy him out.
That's not buy a bad him out, idea. Something like that. Yeah. So, I mean, I doubt that. And now that that's out there, there's no way they can trade him, because people know that they're willing to buy him out, and then they can try and get him for nothing. And so I think,
yeah, why give up assets?
Yeah. Why? Exactly. All right. So the last thing we're going to talk about briefly is the draft tomorrow, or Thursday night, not tomorrow, Thursday night. And we've got number one pick is Detroit. The number two pick is Houston. And the number three pick is, in fact, the Cleveland Cavaliers. or as they like to say, sometimes the Cavaliers. I've heard that. I don't know who said that first, but I heard that. I don't know if they're trying to be if they're trying to be fancy or what. So I think it's pretty, I feel really weird saying this about Detroit. I feel like it's pretty, I feel pretty safe and assume that Cade is going to go to Detroit. Now I've heard some scuttle that maybe, you know, Jalen Green had a really good workout for them, or I have not heard anything about Evan Mobley. So maybe Evan Mobley is the actual pick and they're just throwing it out there that Cade's going number one and all that. But do you have any doubt that Cade Cunningham's going number one?
No, I think this is all smokescreen. I think this is all smokescreen to gain buzz, to get somebody to try to overpay for Cade Cunningham. I like Cade. I think he's going to be a very good player for a while. He reminds me of Diet Luka Doncic. Like, I could easily see him being that kind of guy where he's 6'7", 6'8", can get to the bucket, can find the open passer. The jump shot got better as the season went on. The one thing with him that everybody questions, he's got to tighten up the handle. And they wonder if he has another gear, meaning that they wonder with Cade Cunningham if he has that level of explosiveness that he can really get by people, or if this is as fast as he gets. And I look at a kid who's 19 years old, who's never truly focused on one thing and one thing only, or he might be 20, but you get the idea. And he's never focused on being in the NBA and that stuff. And you can tighten up the handle. He wants to play defense. He wants to pass the ball, and he can find his own shot.
Yep.
To me, that's 1-1.
Yeah, I think what you're saying is maybe Team USA should have taken a flyer and had him play on their team this year.
Yes, I would have. The way that they construct this Team USA roster has never made sense. I mean, we knew what the weaknesses of this team was before it even stepped on the floor. And every time they step on the floor, those weaknesses all show up again.
Well, listen, we're going to get to find out. I mean, I'm assuming you're not staying up for a 12:40 a.m. tip tonight.
No.
But I'm going to watch the first half. That's my goal. Look at you. Whether I fall asleep before that happens is another story, but I'm going to attempt to watch the first half.
Look at you.
And hope that at that point they're up like 25 or 30 points and I can just go to bed safe and sound and not us losing to Team Iran. Anyways, sorry, that's another topic for another day. All right. So Cade Cunningham, one, I completely agree. So number two is where it's interesting. Does Houston go with Jalen Green or does Houston go with Evan Mobley? I'll tell you, if I'm Houston, I take Evan Mobley and figure it out. Because I genuinely think that Evan Mobley is probably going to be the best player in this draft. I think he's got a very good chance to be better than Cade. I think, you know, there are some people that are going crazy. Like, I'm sure you listened to the Simmons pod this from yesterday, or maybe you didn't, but he talked about. So they talked, someone was comparing to Giannis. I'm like, whoa, let's slow the roll here. Let's slow the roll on this one. He's a 20-year-old or a 19-year-old who's just finished college, or he didn't even finish college. He just did his college thing, and now he's going to come to the end. Let's slow our roll. However, there are some – I can understand some of the comparisons that they're making, but personally, listen, I don't think he's going to be Giannis. I don't want to be comparing to Giannis.
No. But
I think that he has the chance to have the highest ceiling. I don't know that he has the lowest the highest floor, though. That's what concerns me. But if I'm Houston, I take Evan Mobley. For the Cavs' sake, I hope that they don't take Evan Mobley and they take Jalen Green. And then we have the opportunity to take him at three, because that's what I would like the Cavs to do. Do I think that's what the Cavs are going to do? I'm concerned that they're going to trade out of this pick. And if they trade out of the pick, they better get something good for it. What do you think? So I know I kind of just went did two and three together.
Oh, you're fine. I can react off all that. So I think the rule that should be written on the board of any team that's picking in the top five of the draft should be, don't let your current roster dictate what we do, because that gets you in trouble more than anything else. And I know this draft is deeper than most, but like if Houston is going to attempt to sell to their fan base that because we have Christian Wood, we don't need Evan Mobley, that's a mistake. That's a giant mistake. I am with you on Evan Mobley. I believe Evan Mobley is the best player in this draft. I think he's immensely talented. The way that he can read defenses, the way that he barks out rotations, can protect the rim, can handle the ball, good passer, needs to work on the jumper a little bit, but it's not a broken jumper. probably needs a couple of moves, would like to see a little bit of back to the basket, though we know that that's not important in today's game. There are enough things that are there that he, to me, looks like the premier guy. Yes, he needs to put weight on. He's also 19. So I am with you there. I would take Evan Mobley if I was Houston. Jalen Green is funky to me, man, because I watched about 2 to 3 different G League Ignite games. I didn't pay a whole lot of attention to it. But the three games that I found, like, Jalen Green, he could score. And he can score more, and he can score more. He has no feel for the game of basketball. Like, he misses more wide-open cutters than most guys who are primary ball handlers. And I don't know if you can teach feel. It's my biggest concern with a lot of these guys. Like, one of the things that I always look for draft prospects that I love is, do you have a feel for the game? And I don't know if Jalen Green does. I think Jalen Green has a feel for scoring. Jalen Green's got a feel for lighting it up. But I don't know if Jalen Green has a feel for basketball where he's going to drive to the lane and kick to the big guy in the dunker spot after the collapse takes place, or he's going to kick to the wide open.
I've got a player to compare him to. He's one of Mike's favorite players in the NBA. Jordan Clarkson. Would that be a somewhat fair comparison? See,
but to me, that's lower. The guy I keep hearing for him is Zach LaVine. And I know there are a lot of people out there who really like Zach LaVine, and he made an all-star team, and he's looked really good.
He's good at dunking in dunk contests.
He's looked really good at times. I mean, the guy absolutely fills it up. And the question we all have about Zach LaVine is very simple. What have you done to get your team to the playoffs? And the answer is nothing. His teams have never made the playoffs. And I look at Jalen Green, and that could easily be one that I could eat it on and look like a dum-dum. And I'm willing to accept that fact. I would take, if I'm Houston, I would take Evan Mobley, and I would put the ball in the Cavs court and say, all right, Jalen Green, Jalen sucks. What are you doing? And I would put it on them. And if I'm the Cavs, I'm, of course, going to shop the pick at that point and see what I can do. If I can't get it, I take Jalen Green. And I kick myself later that I didn't take Jalen Suggs, because Jalen Suggs to me seems like, you know, there's three guys in this draft. It's Cunningham, it's Mobley, it's Jalen Green. And then there's a drop off to Suggs. And then there's another drop off to that Kuminga Barnes. Oh,
please. If the Cavs end up with Kuminga, I'm going to pound my head against the wall. I can't watch that guy play basketball. I was pounding my head against the wall. And I know when he was coming into college, he was like third or fourth rated. I just don't see it. Maybe I'm wrong. Call me crazy.
I am with you on Kuminga, but I will say this. His ceiling is the highest of anybody in this draft. Like, he could be Kawhi Leonard. Now, that might take 4 years to get him to Kawhi Leonard.
Yeah.
And there are work ethic concerns that come with Kuminga, which are really a scary thing.
I don't like to hear that. The last time the Cavs picked someone with no work ethic.
With work, exactly.
Anthony Bennett.
Well, Cleveland in general. I mean, you could also point to Justin Gilbert and Johnny Manziel, but like,
that's a different sport.
Oh, it is. But there were work ethic concerns, and those really showed up loudly. Like, and it's the same thing that they say with Kuminga. Now, that I said, the sky is the limit for Jonathan Kuminga. I can see why people love this kid. That's one of those guys that I am willing to get fired over and be like, you know what? I was wrong. Because for every Giannis Antetokounmpo, there is another guy who comes in who is extremely raw and never turns out.
Yep.
You know, there are a lot of those guys every year where you point to the prototype and go, okay, that guy fits everything I want him to, and I think I can turn him into this, and he never makes it. So I am with you. I would field calls for three, and I think I would take Jalen Green, and I'd just figure it out later.
Okay.
Just take.
But we're gonna pray that Evan Mobley's still available at three.
If Evan Mobley's there at three, buddy, you know it is. We're gonna go nuts. We're gonna go absolutely nuts. It's gonna be fantastic.
Yep. That's what I'm hoping for. That's what I'm hoping.
And if they trade back, please take Scottie Barnes.
All right. Sounds good to me.
I love Scottie Barnes, Jason.
I would like to just be like, I could just imagine the Cleveland t-shirt companies coming up with neat nicknames for Scottie Barnes. I just have a feeling That'd be good. I've already seen some good names for Mobley if he was on the team. Him and Jared Allen and everyone, you know, they could be Tower City or City's Tower or something like that.
One. Yeah, I saw that one.
I don't remember what the other one. I remember there was another one too that was good. But anyways, we'll just have to see what happens. I don't want to get my hopes up until after the actual draft on Thursday. So, I truly appreciate you, Dan, hopping on today and talking. It was an absolute pleasure to talk hoops with you. It always is. Do you want to give out your social media channels in case any of our listeners want to give you a follow?
No, not yet, because I got two questions I got to throw to you.
Okay, go ahead.
And they're quick. All right.
Yes.
By the draft, okay, by the end of the draft, Colin Sexton a Cavalier, yes or no?
Yes, he'll be a Cavalier.
Okay. Kevin Love a Cavalier, yes or no?
Yeah, who's going to trade for him?
Good point. Okay, by the beginning of the season, Colin Sexton
no.
a Cavalier, yes or no?
No.
Okay. Kevin Love a Cleveland Cavalier, yes or no?
Yes, because no one's going to trade for him.
Okay. I think I agree with you on both. I want them – God, I would love them to call Orlando and go, all right, Sexton for
Fultz. Sexton for Fultz. Mike Klintzig would do that trade right now.
I don't know. I mean, the Cavs have shown, man. I mean, Darius Garland was one of the worst players in the entire NBA in 2019, or I should say 2020.
Okay, Sexton. Sexton's for Fultz and a second round pick.
Scotty Barnes, Jason. I know they don't need more kids. I know they don't need that. I know they need enough.
Okay, then who are they gonna get for Sexton from the Magic?
Terrence Ross gets kicked around, but that doesn't make me.
No, that doesn't excite me at all.
No, that doesn't excite
Terrence me Ross at all. Was a Cav killer though. He played really, really well in those series. Like, he didn't kill the Cavs because the Cavs beat him, but he was really good for Toronto in those series. I always remember that.
Would you take RJ Hampton?
That doesn't excite me. Markelle Fultz excites me.
Of all the people to excite you, the guy who is just who forgot how to shoot. like he walked around and cracked his head on something and all of a sudden just had shooting amnesia.
Listen, this is the same guy. Listen, there seems to be an issue here. And, you know, just like your beloved Packers have the issue with the Favre and Rodgers, which congratulations, by the way, on that. But the problem that these two guys, him and Simmons, have had is they've both played for the Sixers. It's clearly a developmental problem in Philadelphia. I'm sorry.
Well, right. I mean, the process took its toll. And you've
seen Fultz was showing light at the end of the tunnel, Dan. And then he got hurt last year. He was definitely improved last year.
It looked good, but then he gets hurt. Like, it just always seems like the minute he's about to turn.
No, well, the Magic are always getting hurt. The Magic, poor Jonathan Isaac. I mean, that guy, he looks good, and then he tears his ACL again. Like, oh,
that poor dude.
Yeah. Anyways, all right. Any other questions?
Would you trade for Ben Simmons?
I would trade for Ben Simmons in a heartbeat.
Me and you too. Okay, good.
Okay, so I would send Sexton in a second round pick. And I mean, I don't know what we have to get to make money work here, because I'm guessing it's probably more. Sexton's not going to be enough. So Sexton, I don't know.
You would need – Kevin Love needs to be in there because that number matches really closely.
So Sexton and Love for Simmons in a second round pick?
I think you would probably need to toss a first in there. You might need to toss a future first.
A future first. You're not tossing in this first.
I'm not trading this first. This one's too valuable.
No, I would trade. I would say
2025 top five protected. I would do that.
What about 2023 not unprotected.
Top three protected and you got a deal.
Okay. All right. Fair enough.
I would do.
That would make the Cavs a playoff team. I'm just going to put that out there.
And this is the whole thing that drives me nuts about people trashing Ben Simmons is they go, well, he gets to the playoffs and he falls apart. You haven't seen the damn playoffs in so long. Get there first, then worry about falling apart.
Oh, come on. It's been 2 years. Let's not, or 3 years. Let's not get ahead of ourselves. It hasn't been that long.
But it I understand.
Been, but you're, you know, right now this roster is.
It's a dumpster fire. I got it.
It's a rudderless ship, man. And they've got to figure this out because they've got a bunch of point guards and they got a bunch of power forwards. And there's nothing in the middle. And they don't have the most important thing in basketball, which is a guy between 6'6 and 6'10 who can guard multiple positions and find his own shot. And that's what they have to find.
Well, if they need a 6'4 white guy who can't shoot, and sign for a cup of coffee and hanging out with some NBA players, I'm available.
Can you bring the donuts to practice? Do you mind?
I can bring the donuts to practice.
Beautiful. They'll take you.
I'm really good at playing terrible defense. So okay. I think, okay. I mean, it sounds like a Cav player. All right.
Yeah. I mean, you and Colin Sexton could play together.
Yeah. All right. Sounds good. Okay. On that note,
I'm done.
how can people find you on social media?
You find me on Twitter at the Sports Feller. If you so desire, Feller spelt like Bob. That's your best bet to get a hold of me. And of course, Monday through Friday, Baskin and Phelps from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. on 92.3 The Fan.
And this week, if you're listening now, this week you're co-hosting Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, correct?
It will be. Yeah, it'll be Phelpsy and I for Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, start of the Brown season as well. So we'll have a ton of Browns press conferences.
Oh, sweet. Are you now? I know you're in studio. So that mean you're not at training camp at all, or
I will find my way to training camp. It's all later this season, so like practices are going to start, I think, around that like 225 area. So we will not be at training camp because of COVID-19 protocols, but afterward we will be there covering all that stuff. And of course, you know, our Browns beat reporter Darryl Ryder have the whole thing covered along with all the other ones, Mary Kay Cabot and, you know, Scott Petrak and that whole group, and Tom Withers will have you covered as well out there.
Awesome. Perfect. Well, Dan, it was an absolute pleasure talking with you. We'll have to do it again soon. All right, buddy.
Sounds excellent, man. Talk soon.
All right. Thanks, everyone, for listening, and we'll catch you on our next episode.
Thanks for listening to the Hoopheads podcast, presented by Head Start Basketball.